From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The death toll could rise in the San Francisco suburb where a gas pipeline ruptured and exploded. Seven people are now known to have been killed, but the police chief in San Bruno says six people are still missing. Authorities say the pipeline section was ranked as high risk because it ran through a highly populated area. Voters in Turkey are deciding on a package of constitutional reforms. NPR's Peter Kinnunen is in Istanbul. He reports that today's results will be seen by many as a measure of the public's confidence in Turkey's prime minister.
Prime Minister Erdogan has campaigned tirelessly for this package of 26 amendments, calling it an important step on Turkey's path toward democracy and membership in the European Union. Most of the proposals enjoy wide support, but a few have raised alarm bells among opposition parties. They say some of the changes would give Erdogan and his AK party too much influence over Turkey's judiciary. Erdogan, a deeply religious Muslim himself, says such fears are groundless, and his job is to defend Turkey's secular government. After 8 years in power, AK party leaders will be watching today's results closely to see how their candidates may fare in next year's parliamentary elections, and whether Erdogan is likely to win another term as prime minister. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
The release of an American hiker from detention in Iran is apparently back on again. Sarah Short was to have been released yesterday after the intervention of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. But the judiciary said such a decision would have to go through the courts. Now a senior prosecutor says Short will be released on $500,000 bail. Short and two other Americans were detained near Iran's border with Iraq more than a year ago. Iran accuses them of spying, but their families say they were merely on a hiking trip. The prosecutor says the other two hikers will remain in jail. Americans are marking the ninth anniversary of 9/11 this weekend. At New York's Ground Zero, bells rang out and the names of more than 2,700 victims were read aloud. While the commemoration was underway, NPR's Margot Adler reports that protests were held both for and against a proposed Islamic cultural center.
Loved ones dropped roses into a pool of water. Bells were rung four times, marking when the planes hit the north and south towers of the World Trade Center and the moment when each tower fell. In the afternoon, two rallies of almost equal size took place a few blocks from the World Trade Center site, one against the Islamic Cultural Center and one supporting it. There was a heavy police presence, and the building at 45 Park Place, the site of the proposed center, was locked and the street barricaded. There were no arrests and no violence, but there were some verbal skirmishes, as opponents and supporters of the mosque argued. At night, the towers of light once again lit up the night sky for miles, columns of light in the image of the Twin Towers. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.
You're listening to NPR News. Authorities are still trying to figure out why a double-decker bus veered off its planned route and smashed into a low bridge outside Syracuse, New York, early yesterday morning. Randy Winter reports that four people were killed and one person is in critical condition.
The megabus carrying 27 people plowed into the bridge around 2:30 Saturday morning. The bus had left Philadelphia about 4 hours earlier, headed for Toronto with a stop in Syracuse. But for reasons that aren't yet clear, the bus left the regular route and took a side road that has a notoriously low bridge. The bus company says the driver had made the trip several times before, and there is no indication he was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. The low bridge has been the scene of several accidents involving large-sized vehicles, but it's the first fatal accident at the bridge in almost 20 years. For NPR News, I'm Randy Wenner in Syracuse.
Kim Clijsters of Belgium has won her second straight U.S. Open women's title and third overall. She easily beat Vera Zvonareva of Russia in yesterday's final in New York.
I think today I was able to just, you know, mix it up well and just, you know, stay calm during the rally as well, but still, you know, put enough pressure and variety in there, you know, throwing up some higher balls here and there. And I think that just got her.
Clijsters is the first woman to win back-to-back U.S. Open titles since Venus Williams. The men's champion will be decided today, and for the first time since 2003, Roger Federer will not be on the court. Novak Djokovic upset Federer yesterday and will meet Rafael Nadal. Forecasters say a storm swirling in the Atlantic could become a major hurricane by tomorrow. Tropical Storm Igor strengthened into a hurricane overnight. This is NPR News.